So last week we talked about being resolved, making a resolution, making a resolution to follow Jesus and to serve Jesus and to do what is right. And this week, I'd like to talk about being resolved to pray, making sure that's what we do. So I want you just to watch this video that we've just got a little video clip here.
Yes, Mary Patrick.
Reverend Mother, on behalf of all the sisters here at St. Catherine's, I'd like to offer a great big hi there and hello to Sister Mary Clarence. Hi. And as part of the welcome, I thought that maybe our new sister could offer today's blessing.
Well, that is very thoughtful of you, Mary Patrick, but I really...
Oh, yeah, I could do that. Sure. Okay. Bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts which we're about to receive. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of no food, I will fear no hunger. We want you to give us this day our daily bread, and to the republic for which it stands, and by the power invested in me, I pronounce us ready to eat. Amen.
Amen.
I thought that was kind of fitting. We're talking about prayer. And, you know, if we're going to be people who are resolved to pray, we need to be people that do more than just talk about it. We need to be people who pray. If that's a resolution we make, and I would hope that we would all make that resolution to pray, we need to be people who do it. Unfortunately, sometimes we're like Sister Mary Clarence and want to pray, but not sure how it all comes together. It might seem a little overwhelming, like, where and when do I pray? And what position do I need to be in while I'm praying? And how long should I pray? And when I'm talking to God, how should I talk to Him? And so I just like to take a look at this topic of prayer today, and we're just going to look at some of these things. First thing is, where do we pray? Well, in 1 Kings chapter 8, 22, we see King Solomon's dedication of his temple, and he's gathered the whole Israelite community. So they're praying as a congregation. They're praying a public gathering, similar that we do on a Sunday morning. And then in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, we read that where two or three gather and agree on anything. So we can pray in small groups, and we should do, like this Friday when we have our all church prayer. I'd like to say it was a bigger group than a small group, but it doesn't matter what size the group is. We need to pray with our spouses, with our families, at home or wherever we are. Prayer needs to be first place. We need to pray by ourselves. Matthew 6:6, Jesus said to go into your room and close the door and pray. Pray by yourself. There needs to be those times when we pray by ourselves as well. We read that Jesus went on the mountain and prayed. Jesus prayed in the open countryside when he fed the 5,000. He prayed in the synagogue. He prayed in homes. But it's not where we pray or how many times we pray. What really is of concern here, the whole thing is, what is really important is that we are resolved to pray, that we are people who will pray. So when do we pray? Well, Daniel, he prayed three times a day. Daniel 6:10, he prayed three times a day. Peter, in Acts 10, verse 9, says that he prayed at noon on a rooftop. And then in Acts 12, we see that the church is gathered in a home at night, and they're praying for Peter's release. And again, it doesn't matter when we pray. What matters is that we're resolved to pray, that we will pray. So what position should we be in when we pray? Well, in Acts chapter 7, verse 60, we see Stephen, he's kneeling when he's praying. We find Jesus in Matthew 26 and verse 39, he's lying face down on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's praying. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 11, we see the Pharisee and the tax collector, they're both in the synagogue. The Pharisees come close to the front of the synagogue, and I've got this Republican now in my head. The tax collector, he's far back, but they're both standing while they pray. They don't even get down on their knees. Not once do we see them clasp their hands and pray in the Word, but that's okay. In Matthew, or I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 2:8, Paul says, I wish that all of you would lift up holy hands in prayer. And I used to pray with a fella, and he would, all the time he would pray, he would walk, and I walk a lot when I pray too, but he would walk and he would have his hands in the air because of that scripture. He just believed that when he prayed, he wanted to have his hands lifted in the air and praying to Jesus. And that's okay. But there's no set rule that we need to be kneeling, standing, lying face down, having our hands in the air, having our eyes shut or our eyes open. The big thing is that we're resolved to pray. How long should we pray? Well, Jesus said to his disciples in Mark 14, verse 37, couldn't you just pray for 1 hour? I mean, couldn't you just do 1 hour? And to some of us, that's really intimidating. But we find Peter, who was walking on the water and started to sink, he prayed, but he only prayed 3 simple words. Lord, save me. Pretty important prayer at that time. Again, it's not how long we pray, but are we resolved to pray? So all those scriptures that I said, they're all in the bulletin there. You can look them up later. How should we talk to God? And I want to spend some time on this section. And you know, when we come to God, I think we need to realize that we come to Him, we just talk to Him in our normal voice. We don't have to change. I was in one church once, and there was a fella, and you talk to him, and he would just talk to you normally. But when he prayed, it was totally different. It was like, who is this fella? I've never heard him talk before. We can just talk to God as we have a conversation with one another. Because that's what our prayer with God is it not? Is it not just conversation? Is it not just a chat with Him? We need to remember, though, Kathy brought this to my attention one day when I was talking out at the prison in Nanaimo. She said, you tell these guys that they just need to use their normal day language to talk to God. And she says, some of their normal day language, I don't know if that's quite the language we should be talking to God with. Now, the truth is, God understands that language, and He'll hear that language. I mean, what God wants is a sincere heart to talk to Him. But we want to be respectful when we talk to God. And I would suggest that we use good language when we're talking to God, but we don't have to use, we just use normal language. There are a number of patterns of how we should talk to God. In Matthew chapter 6 verses 9 to 13, we read the Lord's Prayer. And that's a great pattern to pray. We can follow that. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's a great prayer to pray through. And we don't just have to repeat those words. It's more just a structure that we can follow through. Or we could pray the Word, pray the Bible. Take a portion out of the Bible. You know, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We could just take that one verse and start praying. God, you're a mighty God. You're a powerful God. You're an amazing God. You will meet all our needs here. It doesn't say you'll just meet 50% or 99%. It says that you will meet all our needs here. And they're all met in Jesus. First of all, our salvation, Lord. You met our salvation. You brought us from the miry clay and set us on the solid rock. And you can see as we take a portion of Scripture, we can just continue to pray it. God, I didn't say that you would meet all our needs. You said that. Some people use a pattern which is an acronym called ACTS. And ACTS stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. And that's a great thing. If you can remember that, you know, this is how I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray through adoration. I'm going to pray through confession. I'm going to pray through thanksgiving, and I'm going to pray through supplication. That's great. I just want to show you another acronym. It's very similar to ACTS. It's called ADAPT. It's 5 letters instead of 4. It's pretty similar, though. The A stands for adoration, worshiping God for who he is. We need to take time to get into God's presence. We need to just set aside some time. And that's where I think Jesus was talking about going into the room and shutting yourself in with him, in a sense. But we need to do that, whether we just listen to some music, whether we read the Bible, or whether we worship and pray in the Spirit. You know, we need to realize that God is our creator, our sustainer, our redeemer. He's the Almighty. He has everything in his hands. And when we start to really focus on who God is, it makes all the difference when we're praying. Adoration is a time when we draw close to God. James chapter 4, verse 8, the first half of that verse. It says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. I mean, if I want to have a meaningful conversation with Kathy, if I want to have that close conversation with her, it doesn't work really well if I'm got the TV turned on, or I'm running a skill saw, or pounding a hammer, or whatever. If I really want to have a meaningful conversation with Kathy, I need to stop what I'm doing and focus on her and who she is. I need to draw close to her. Yet, you know, I don't know about you, but there's sometimes when I've gone to prayer and I just feel a little distant from God. And I think one of those reasons is, for me anyhow, is that I haven't spent time in that adoration time. I haven't spent time in focusing on God first. I've just come with, here I am, God, I got this and this and this and this and this. I haven't really entered in to the Holy of Holies, into his very presence. In Psalm 145, verse 18, it declares, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. If we enter with adoration, if we come close to God, he's right there. He's there when we call upon Him. We need to start our prayers with adoration and worship. So then at ADAPT, the A stands for adoration. The D stands for declare. Declaring our sins and our dependence on God. I mean, we need to come there. And I mean, that's the same as in Acts, that the acronym Acts. Acts is confession. And this is the same here. We need to come. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So if I don't come to God and declare, God, that I'm a sinful man and these things I've done are wrong, please forgive me, there's a barrier between myself and God. I mean, if I've done something wrong to Kathy, if I've wronged her in some way, say I get angry with her for something that Gordon got a bigger piece of pie when he came to my house than I did, and that's not fair, you know, and I'm angry with her about it. And then I say, oh, by the way, can we talk about this deep thing in our lives? Where do you think she's going to be at? How do you think that conversation's going to go? No, I need to come to her and say, you know what, honey? I'm really sorry for the way I acted when you gave Gordon the bigger piece of pie. I know he was the guest at the table, and he deserved the bigger piece of pie. Yeah. And, you know, and then maybe the conversation, the deep conversation would be able to start, right? I removed the barricade. It's the same. 1 John 1, 8 and 9 says, if we claim we to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. It takes the barrier away. Declaring our sins to God clears the way for prayer. It removes any hindrances. And you know, as I was going over my message this morning at about 4:30, I realized something. God brought something to my remembrance. We were camping one year with another couple in Alberta, and we were camping along this river, and it was hot. So this other gentleman and I, now we're probably talking 12 years ago or so. So I wasn't young, but I was younger. There we are in the river, putting rocks in the river, blocking the river, building a dam so we could build a pool. And you know, those rocks worked pretty good. They slowed down the flow of the river and built a pool. That's like the sin in our lives, God was showing me this morning. He says, that's like the sin in our lives. That sin is like rocks between us and God, and we're building them up, and it's slowing down the flow of our prayer life to God. And as we declare our sins, as we confess our sins to God, it's like removing those rocks and allowing everything to flow. And now we can approach God confidently because we know we are right with God. And you know, we also need to declare that we're dependent on Him. As we have taken time to worship Him and adore Him and realize who He is, we need to realize that we are just human and we need Him. Without Him, we have nothing. We might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we just die and rot in the ground. But with Him, all things are possible. And we are dependent on Him. We need Him. God is the Father and we are the children under His authority. We need Him. We rely on Him alone for all things. So we need to adore God. We need to declare our sins and our dependency on God. And then we need to ask God. The second A stands for ask. Bring our requests before God's thrones for us and for others. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So how do we bring our requests to God? Like, how do we remember those requests? Like, do we just come and we can do that? We can just come to God at a moment's notice at any time and just bring our requests to God and rely on our memories. Some people use prayer journals. Some people write down their prayer requests and they can go over them day after day or week after week, or and they check them off when they're done. I know Kathy, my wife, does that. She will have a list of prayer things, and as they're answered, she checks them off, and she can always go back and look and say, "Oh yeah, that was answered back then." So we can do that. We can have a prayer journal. We can use the five-finger method of prayer. Everybody's going, "What?" The five-finger of prayer. The thumb is the closest to us. So when we think of our thumb, we start to pray for those who are close to us, our spouses, our children, our parents, our family, our friends, our church family, those who are close to us. The next finger is the pointing finger, right? And so the pointing finger, we can remember that we need to pray for those who teach us, who instruct us, who heal us. That includes like teachers, doctors, emergency response teams, pastors, missionaries. They need our support. I mean, I don't know how I would manage without your prayers. I don't know how Shane would manage as an RCMP officer without your prayers, or any of the RCMP, or any of the fire departments, or the doctors, or the nurses, or the teachers, how they can even function without our prayers. They need God's wisdom. They need His guidance day after day. And so then the third finger is the tallest finger. And we can remember that when we look at our third middle finger, that we need to pray for those in authority, those who are our prime minister and our premier and our municipal government leaders, our mayors and council members and MLAs and business leaders. We need to pray for them. Do you know if our businesses in town don't thrive, then we don't thrive. If our communities don't thrive, then we don't thrive. We need to pray for God's blessing upon our communities, upon our mayors and our council members. We need God's blessings upon them, that they would know God's guidance and God's direction. And then the next finger, our fourth finger, do you know that that's the weakest finger in the hand? Piano teachers would tell you that this is the weakest finger in your hand. So as we know that the ring finger is the weakest finger in our hand, that's why I didn't buy my wife a really big diamond ring, because it was too weak to hold it. No. But that, knowing that is the weakest finger in our hand, then we just naturally pray for those who are weak, who are struggling. Maybe they're sick. Maybe there are financial troubles. Maybe there's an addiction or relationship troubles or whatever it is. And then the smallest finger, our pinky finger, It's the smallest. So we pray for ourselves. And it's okay to pray for ourselves. I've been with people that they'll pray for everything around the world, but Pastor, I can't pray for myself. Well, we need prayer. Each one of us needs prayer. We need to come to God and ask for His guidance, His wisdom, His support, His strength, His protection. So that's just a little thing that you can use in coming to God is the five fingers of prayer. But we need to ask God. So we've got adoration, we've got declaring, and we've got asking. And this is the only difference between the ACTS model and the ADAPT model. The P stands for pay attention or to listen. Taking time to listen to God. John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." We need to listen. As we listen, we start to understand and hear God's voice at all times, wherever we are. And in Psalm 37, verse 7, David wrote, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." The word "be still" there, the word "be still" means to be silent. And it means to be as silent as if you were dead. In other words, don't make a sound. Just listen. Just hear what God wants to say to us. Prayer is not a one-way conversation. It is two ways. We talk to God and He talks to us through His Spirit, through His Word. We need to ask God to open our minds, our hearts, our spirits to hear what He's telling us. Revelation states, "He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." Do we take time to just stop and listen to what God is saying? You'd be pretty upset if I phoned you and asked you some questions and then just hung up my phone. Well, you never even listened to my answer. You didn't answer me. Well, you hung up. You walked away. God doesn't want us to walk away. We can't hear what the Spirit's saying if we're not listening. And then the final T is thanksgiving, expressing our thanks. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 95, verse 2, "Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song." Let us come before Him with thanksgiving. And we've already talked about Philippians 4, 6, where it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present our requests to God." Why are we thankful to God? Because He's the one who's listening to us. He's the one who will answer us. He's the one who can provide what we need. We end with thanksgiving because we've been in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our God who's heard us and answered us. Now, you can use an acronym ACTS. You can use the acronym ADAPT. You can say, "Scott, I don't like ADAPT." That's okay. I made that up. That's fine. You can use just praying through the Word. You can use the Lord's Prayer. But what really matters is that you pray, that we are resolved to pray. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Here's a couple other acronyms. We need to push. Pray until something happens. I can tell you story after story of people who have prayed and continue to pray. I can tell you a story of a lady who prayed for another lady for 9 years. That lady wanted nothing to do with church. But in the 9th year, just a couple of years before she passed away, she turned her heart over to Jesus. What would have happened if she prayed for 8.5 years? That lady might not have come to Jesus. I don't know. Pray until something happens. And ASAP. I mean, we need this in both acronyms. We need to pray as soon as possible. We need to do that. We can't. I don't know how many times. Oh, has it come to that? We need to pray? You mean we can't work it out? I can't work it out, God. I can't do it on my own. No, Scott, you should have prayed right away, first thing, and not tried to work it out on your own. But ASAP is always say a prayer. We need to pray all the time. May we be people resolved to pray. May that be one of our resolutions this year, that we are resolved to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can come to you in prayer. It's not that you don't want us to talk to it. You're the King of the Kings and Lord of Lords. You created the universe, yet you desire, you call us to come to you and talk to you and pray continually. Without ceasing. You want to hear what's on our hearts. You want us to have that conversation with you. Thank you, Father, that you listen to each one of us and that you answer. So God, help us to keep these resolutions. That as we are people who are resolved to pray, that we would keep them. Both now, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and the years to come. Thank you, Father, for being here with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.